Well, it's earnings season and everybody is reporting, and we watched Texas Instruments very closely because it looked like last time around that things were kind of bottoming and maybe turning back up. Wall Street took a look at the numbers and ran the other way, and the stock sold off about 5%. The earnings were good and the revenues were better than expected, but maybe it's the guidance that's the problem again. Rafael Lazzardi is Chief Financial Officer of Texas Instruments and joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Hi, David. Good to be here.
We talked 3 months ago, and things were kind of coming around. And you guys are, you make chips that are in everything that we use, all of the devices that everybody buys. But the guidance is a little bit below expectations. Is that interpretation correct?
Well, technically, it was slightly above expectations, but we beat in the fourth quarter, so they kind of start you off with a new level. But if you look what they had on the print on first quarter expectations was 3850, I believe it was 3870, and we came in with a midpoint of 3900, $3.9 billion, and the. It's actually, that midpoint would be the first year-on-year growth in some time. So, but you know, you just deal with what happens. Our goal is to operate, and we'll continue to perform.
So the turn is in place, and you're seeing an uptick because it had been, as you say, I think 9 straight quarters of sort of declines in revenue, but it is upticking. Was the hesitation is? Of course, you're a global company, and so you're impacted not just by what's going on in the U.S., but what's going on globally. Is there any sense of relief about tariffs or anything else that's helping?
Well, so to that point, and the analyst kind of read into some of these pieces, you know, we have 5 end markets. 3 of them have already bottomed and an upturning, but they're the 3 smaller ones. Right, the 2 that are larger that account for about 70% of our business, auto and industrial, they're still kind of bottoming. So that's that was part of what they picked up on that they didn't like, I think. In the case of auto, it's actually showing up strength in China, but outside of China, it's still declining. Industrial is. There are many sectors. There are 13 different sectors that we call out. Inside of that, there are many hundreds of end applications. But some of those are bottoming and starting to come back, and others are still in the process of bottoming.
Obviously, we follow TI closely because you're a local company and major employer and major importance in our area. But the world really follows you as a bellwether, as an indication of what's going on in the economy and what's turning around. So you're seeing signs, pockets of strength, but not general strength. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. We see pockets of resurgence and upturn, but not quite broad base yet.
It's always interesting to kind of get a handle on your goods because you're a major international company. Most of your stuff is sold internationally, but then it all turns around and a lot of it finds a home back here in the U.S. So I don't know. Are you impacted by tariffs or the threat of tariffs? Is that disruptive to your business?
At this point, our sense is that is minimal, if any. We have a very robust supply chain and diversified manufacturing footprint, so we can mitigate that, and our presence in China as far as manufacturing is relatively small and contained.
Of course, all the top talk is about artificial intelligence and every aspect of artificial intelligence to data centers and everything else. I mean, you don't make the same kind of chips that an NVIDIA does, for example. You make analog chips. But my sense is that you must be impacted by some of this. It seems like such a broad trend.
Absolutely. AI is everywhere, and we're benefiting from on a number of fronts. One is our sales, because for every NVIDIA chip that goes out, there are many parts that go around it that are sockets that we compete for, primarily on power, but also on signal chain. So the more racks and servers are out there with AI chips, and the more business opportunities we have. But we're also deploying AI internally to help us on our manufacturing efficiency, on R&D efficiency, even our sales effectiveness. We're starting to deploy AI machine learning tools that help us with that.
So you as a consumer, not as a manufacturer, that's fascinating. I hadn't really thought about that.
Correct.
So tell me about the construction projects. Lots of construction projects going on all over the U.S., probably none quite as large as what's going on just north of us in the Sherman-Denison area. You on track and on budget?
Yes, we're doing really well. Just to give you the summary, in Richardson, we continue to deploy tools. Those factories are built, have been built for some time, but it takes a while to fill them with tools. So R52 will continue to deploy tools there this year and into 2026. Then that's R5 in Richardson. Then you go further north to Sherman, and we are building two factories there. The first one is now fully built and is being qualified, and we expect to be qualified and start shipping some products for revenue sometime later this year. So that's going to be a really nice milestone. And then the last one is in Lehi, Utah, near Salt Lake City, where we bought a factory from Micron in 2021, mm-hmm. and we qualified that factory. Now we're trying to ramp it and qualify new products. And then we just broke ground on a second factory right next to it, and we'll be building that one over the next 2 or 3 years.
So, well, given the outlook then, as you look into 2025, do you need the capacity right away of Richardson as you get the tools in there and ramping up the new Sherman plant, or do you need to hold back a little bit?
No, we do. We do need it. It's interesting how this works. Some of it is revenue expectations. And it's going to depend on because it's not the demand that we need to meet is not today's demand, it's tomorrow's demand, right? It's the one next year, and we fully expect to be out of this slump at some point relatively soon. But then the other one is the mix of technologies, and the technologies that we're deploying in these new factories are more advanced technologies, so that the demand for those is ramping even faster than the overall demand.
So even at the expense of maybe some of the other factories then?
Correct. Correct. So, expense of other factories in other countries primarily. But, yeah.
See, the other thing, I'm really interested in Sherman because, I mean, it's a massive plant. And I frankly didn't realize that you had completed one of them yet. But one of the concerns we thought about was it's not really a population center up there. It's getting that way, but it really isn't. Are you having any trouble hiring? Have you had any trouble getting workers there, qualified workers?
No, we're doing really well on that front. In fact, many of our current engineers here in Dallas and Richardson, they live up there. Maybe not quite in Sherman, but they live in Anna, in Princeton, in Prosper. People like the space there. You know, you get a lot of acreage for the money. You get good schools, good spaces, open skies. So people love to live there, and many of them travel down here. Now they just travel the other way, which is much better traffic. So, and it's opening up Sherman for further investment in other areas, right? So it's complementary to what we're doing.
I always busy and always successful. Rafael Lizardi, Chief Financial Officer for Texas Exports. We appreciate the time. Thank you, sir.
Good to be here. Thank you.
All right. For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.